And the judge finally looked at me and said, "Do you understand this, Mr. Jackson?"
Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave. Check us out at betterdave.com. Email us at dave@betterdave.com. Or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Now, here's your host, Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to Building a Better Dave. I am your host, Dave, and this is where, according to the website, I'm searching for happiness on the broken road of life. And if you're new to the show, I got to get this wrapped up. Here it is, 2011. I'm still talking about 2010. And the last thing I want to do is go into 2012 talking about 2010. So my last episode, if you missed it, I talked about my night in jail. It was basically eternity. And I had turned myself into the police after having an argument with my wife that got out of hand. And I waited for them to come open the door. This was in the morning. And, you know, they're like, "Yeah, here, you know, I got some rubber pancakes." And they said, "Yeah, we'll let you out in a second for your hearing," or whatever it was. And it just seemed like forever, you know, because I'm thinking I got to get to work. And that wasn't happening. And so I was kind of bummed because I had given back my striped uniform. I kind of wanted it as a souvenir. And I prepared before I gave that back. I had to be prepared to go before the judge. And I sat in the room where I'd been booked. Only now there was a television set. And I told the cop standing there, I was really looking forward to talking to the judge to explain that really this was just just a misunderstanding. Point out that this was just kind of a one-time thing. And to this, the cop pointed out that he would not recommend doing that. He suggested that I say nothing unless I was addressed or asked by the judge. And I was like, "Really? What? I mean, can I just talk to somebody?" I had no idea what I was getting into. And based upon the previous night's experience that led me to going to jail, I was really getting scared because all of a sudden the justice system was, it wasn't playing nice. And I really started wondering, am I really leaving today? You know, is that going to happen or not? And if so, then I'm really screwed, right? So finally, the judge appeared on television. I just remember thinking she was rather Judge Judy-esque. And I had a camera pointed at me so they could see me in all my striped glory, of course. And I heard that my wife was in the courtroom. And I just ached to see my wife. I hope that they had camera angles like those you see, you know, like when you go to a gas station or someplace where the security cam switches to different views every 15 seconds. And maybe if I could just get a glimpse of my wife to let me see she was okay. If I could just get like eye contact or something, you know, I was dying to see her. But unfortunately, it was a single camera shot. And all I got was the judge, who really wasn't even looking into the camera. There was another person in the courtroom, though. You see, my wife had now been appointed an advocate, and now she was the victim. She had victim's rights, and she needed protected. And I didn't realize it then, but I understand it now. When I closed that cell door, my life changed. You see, previously, I was innocent until proven guilty. And now, even though I really hadn't been to a trial, based on the fact that I kind of came in and said, "Hey, here's what I did," I was now guilty until proven innocent. And this has gone on for a year, basically, in many different aspects of my life. It goes for certain family members. And I felt like running to a mirror to see if I had somehow, you know, put on a stained white t-shirt with a hole in the shoulder, you know, the type of uniform that most domestic violence men wear, especially on the TV show Cops. You know, it was like somebody had placed a kick me sign on my back, only instead it said wife beater. And again, I just wanted to scream, "Stop, hold on, can I please get someone's attention? Because look, you got this all wrong here. It's not what happened." And instead, I sat with my mouth shut, listening to the judge, because that's more or less what I was told to do. I learned how I would have to pay for a lawyer to defend me. And, you know, the whole thing about one will be appointed if you can't afford it. Well, yeah, okay. Apparently I could afford it. And I really need to get a lawyer soon because I had another hearing coming up in about 2 weeks. And in the meantime, there would be a lovely protection order on me, and I couldn't be within whatever it was, 100 yards, X amount of feet of my wife. I could not communicate with her in any way. If I even tried to talk to a kid, knowing that the kid would then relay it to his wife, if I violated any of this in any fashion, I would be thrown back in jail. Even if she contacted me first, if I answered the phone, I would go to jail. And the judge finally looked at me and said, "Do you understand this, Mr. Jackson?" To which I answered, "Yes, Your Honor." And I was scared because I was not going back to jail. Now, the fun part was I had to wait for a cop to escort me back to my house, where I was not allowed to go directly, and while I was there, I was not allowed to directly talk to my wife. I had to ask the cop to ask my wife a question. It was almost like this weird game of telephone. You know, could you ask her where my shaving cream is, sir? It was really weird. And after about 4 messages back and forth, the cop had enough and said, "Look, if you guys can be civil, I'll let you communicate," which was really, really cool of him. We talked about the bills that would need to be paid, basically how to run the house going forward, because we had no idea how long this was going to go on. We're thinking, well, at the next thing in 2 weeks, maybe this whole thing will go away. Now, my wife had done me a favor, and she had actually packed up some of my clothes, not in a "hey, get out" kind of fashion, but just, "Hey, you know, let's avoid this hassle." She did say she didn't want a divorce. And I don't remember much of the conversation. I just remember having to hurry as we couldn't keep the cop all day. I had to pack enough in my little Toyota Corolla to last me a while. Before I left, she asked the cop if she could hug me, and the cop said that was fine. So 3 feet from where our act of stupidity had happened, I hugged my wife for what would be the last time for a while.
Isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts, cause each other pain, how we take each other's love without thinking anymore. Getting to give back, isn't it a pity?
Something you see, we take all things for granted every day. You know, we're too busy to realize that the everyday things that we do that are our privilege. Now, my wife and I had gone from shouting at each other to talking to each other, to court-ordered silence. And the silence was deafening. I couldn't email. I couldn't text. I couldn't chat. I couldn't call. I couldn't look at my wife within a certain feet range, of course, or risk going to jail. Now, my wife did call, but I refused to answer the phone. You see, I wasn't going back to jail. And at this point, I did not trust the justice system. And for all I knew, they had my phone tapped. And the minute I said a word, the men in blue would bust through a wall like the Kool-Aid guy. You know, "Hey, Kool-Aid," be like, "Hey, guess what? You're going back to jail." And I felt like a person that maybe is in a lifeboat. You know, you are so far off course, but you're breathing. You know, you have the means to make it to shore, but you have no idea what waits for you on that shore. And I think I made it 2 days. I remember going to bed at night and looking at the ceiling, and I wanted to somehow, like, telepathically send a message to my wife that, you know, if I was thinking about her, maybe she was thinking about me, and somehow we could just connect. You know, I wanted her to know how much I missed her. I thought long and hard about how to send a message to my wife, to let her know I missed her, to let her know how sorry I was. But I couldn't send any communication to her or through her children to her. Anything that was intended for her ears could literally get me thrown back in jail. Do you understand this, Mr. Jackson? Kept running through my head from the judge. So, being a musician, I love music, always have. And what I decided to do was to just start, telling my friends and family on Facebook about some of my favorite songs. And I'm not sure how I stumbled across Ray Charles, but I ended up posting this video on my Facebook. And if it just so happened that my wife heard it, well, I can't stop her from doing that.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone and I'm just to sing this song for you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, girl, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. So darling, can't you please see through me? Cause we're alone now and I'm singing my song to you. You taught me precious secrets of the truth with only nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better. So if my words don't come together, listen to the melody. Cause my love's in dying. There's no space or time. I love you for my life, cause you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and I was singing my song for you. Singing my song.